tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Doctor Who fans! That's right! It's time for the Doctor Who finale here at AfterBuzz TV for the after show! Whoa! That is an episode that we have to talk about. Alright, guys. Well, I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us. You can tweet at me throughout the week, throughout the show, at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON. I love hearing your guys' opinions, especially on this topic. I think I'm going to need some help figuring out how I feel. So let's introduce my co-hosts who are going to help me with that, starting with Tari Miller.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's D-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
Hi, I'm Yael Teagle. You can find me on Twitter at Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L.
Okay. All right. I just want to get your overall reactions first, because... and I'll kick us off, so you guys have a moment to prepare.
Okay.
I honestly, at the end of this episode, and I've watched it twice now, I don't know if I liked it or didn't like it. I can honestly say that I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it was bad. I am so conflicted on how I feel about this episode that I'm really hoping to figure that out tonight. So I'm hoping that you guys in the chat role and that my two co-hosts can really help me figure out what I'm supposed to feel right now, because I don't know. It had some really great moments, some really like Doctor Who moments of like, yeah, this is why I love this show. And other moments of like, what is happening right now? Right. This doesn't make sense. And both of those things happening at once is very confusing.
Yeah.
To my, like, emotionally confusing.
Yeah. No, yeah, I got you.
So what did you guys think? Whoever wants to start.
I mean, sorry. I'll start. I know that feeling well. That's how I felt at the end of the last season of True Detective.
really?
But, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
but I will be the first one to say that, like, I guess I wasn't a fan. Okay. Mostly because I felt like I was robbed yet again of a companion death, which makes me sad. Like, and I guess I get why they would not, like, they'd let her live on and all that stuff. But, like, I felt like they were trying to do a lot of things, and there were a lot of themes that they were trying to hit. But overall, like, I don't feel like they hit any of them and just kind of left you, they left you in the middle of nowhere, which is not where you want to be at the end of a season. You want to feel like you've accomplished something. You want to feel like you've gone to a different place than you started, but I feel like everything that has ever happened in the history of our time with Clara has just been erased, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's fair. It sort of feels like this episode was half baked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had some really good ingredients. It was going to be an amazing cake at the end of the day, and you took it out of the oven too early. And so you wound up with something that's really cool, but not what the finished product was supposed to be.
It's right. Really funny to use that metaphor, especially because of Soufflé Girl.
Yeah.
And her whole, like...
Oh, I should have said soufflé.
But no, but, like, her whole point was, it's not the soufflé that matters. You know, like, it doesn't matter how it comes out. It matters what goes in.
A soufflé is not the soufflé.
Yeah. So, Sarvis the Buck in the chat, I think, says... What I feel most, and I agree, is I liked it overall, but only when I'm not thinking about it too hard.
Mm,
right?
Fair.
Like, there are a lot of parts that I'm like, yeah, I liked this, I liked that. And then there are parts that I don't like, but there are parts that I shouldn't like, and I like it because I think it can go somewhere cool, but I'm a pessimist at heart, and I go, it's not going to go somewhere cool. Like, for example,
yeah.
Me and Clara, like, yeah, spinoff, but we're like, that's not where it's going.
Okay. Yeah.
And the idea of, what I was telling you earlier,
yeah.
I feel like because they are off doing what they're doing, we could get a, like, at the end of turn left, after turn left, where Rose comes back and then Jack comes back and we have this whole extravaganza with the Dr. Don and everyone's there. Jackie's there, you know? I feel like that's, we could do that, but we're not going to.
Right.
I mean, I would disagree. I think that you absolutely will get that. It's just a question of when.
You think they will come back?
Yes, and I'll get into my reasons okay. for why later.
The other thing I just wanted to say is this whole season, we have talked a lot about how death has no consequences.
Yep.
And finally, death did. And again, it didn't.
Yes.
And had a really great theory about the Time Lords coming back because they're angry at the Doctor for how he's like, you aren't letting people die. Great theory. I want to see that.
Well, that's more or less what's happening here.
I disagree.
They didn't...
Especially because of the way that it ended.
Yes. All right. Well. Let's dig into this episode. Let's really break it down because okay. there is so much. This is an extra long episode.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of stuff to go over. So let's talk about the specifics. And just let's start with the Doctor and the Time Lords.
okay. I had very silly questions watching this. I told you guys that for whatever reason, my first questions watching this was, do you think the president, when he was a kid and chose his name, went, I'm going to be the president, you know, because the Doctor is the Doctor,
right.
The Master is the Master. I'm going to be the president.
So their overall, like their overseers known as Lord. And then so it's just adding on. So he's Lord President.
Right. So he would be Lord Doctor.
Yeah.
Or Lord Master.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's it. Just crossed my mind. I was like, I wonder that. I'm sure that's not it, but like, what if it is?
It's an ambitious child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that thought just was something that occurred to me while watching, and I feel like is like that's my parallel to what this episode is like. You know what I mean? Like, you can ask a silly question like that. That's what this episode was—a silly question.
All right. Well, like when we come in, the Doctor is he instead of going directly to the city,
yeah.
he goes to the barn. And I saw an interview. I can't remember if it was Moffat or someone that like they didn't say they're like it's not officially that barn, but it is.
Right.
They're like apparently they're like not officially confirming for whatever that
it's which barn.
That it's the barn from the 50th that the War Doctor went to, and then it is very clearly the barn from Listen.
Okay. So we're no longer tying that all together?
I think we are. They were just being coy. But
and we were talking about this a little bit off camera, but or I guess off
was it
mic.
My question of my soup?
No, well, sort of. But I thought, and I could be wrong, but I thought that the barn he went to for the 50th, for the moment, was on a different planet, like just adjacent to Gallifrey. Mostly because I didn't believe that he, like, if at that moment he pressed the button and it blew up the planet that he was on, we wouldn't have a series.
Mm. That's a fair point that I hadn't thought about and all those, but, like, they make it look like the same barn.
Right.
Maybe it sets things in motion in a certain way. I mean, we know the moment is complicated.
Right.
I think the idea is because of how the moment reacts.
Mm-hmm.
However it happened the first time, it, like, took him off the planet.
Right.
Because the punishment was his survival.
Right.
That was the thing. I think his intention was to go down with the ship.
Right.
Right.
But the moment wouldn't let him. So regardless of whether or not he pushed the button or did what happened in the 50th,
mm-hmm.
his punishment for using the moment was survival.
Got it.
So the moment had the ability because of its powers
yeah.
to move him off planet.
Then let me ask you my soup question, because I want the chat roll to answer.
Okay, so he goes over to the barn, goes inside, and meets, like, his old nanny?
Sure, the woman who took care of him.
Yeah, Somebody said that she was the same woman from the end of time. On Twitter. I wasn't able to confirm that.
The weeping angel woman?
Yeah.
Because there's a great theory about her and that woman and the weeping angel on Tumblr. But I don't think it's the same woman, just based on hair. But
okay.
No, because this woman's hair is curly, right? Like real curls.
Yeah, but it's been.
Yeah, but it's like the type of straight hair that woman had, the type of curly hair this woman had, is really difficult to achieve. Anyway, my question is the soup. So this barn is one room. Yes, there's a door. There might be a second door, but it's one room. Where does she make the soup?
Come on, Yael. She had a whole dimension in the closet.
There were no closets. That's the thing.
It doesn't even have to look like a closet. That's true. Literally be a door with 3 inches, and you open it, and there's a whole dimension in there.
But that's what I'm saying. I didn't see doors other than the one outside. Well, I'm just asking where the soup comes from.
Chameleon circuit. Yeah, it doesn't look like a door, but it's a door. It's a fair question.
And
it's
a fair question.
Sorry, and the president. People were real upset with me about the president thing.
Yeah. No, I just looked up on IMDb, by the way. It's not the same person as the woman.
Told you.
Okay.
That actress, at least, did not appear in this episode,
okay,
according to IMDb.
Yeah, where was Timothy Dalton, guys?
I thought that was interesting when we meet the president. I was like, he's still working. Because it's the same character.
Yeah.
People are telling me to just accept the soup.
Accept the soup. Well, I did That's love with the soup. Did you guys notice that when the ship says,
put down your weapons
and walk away, and he drops the spoon?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Of course, a reference to the Robots of Sherwood episode, where the spoon is all the weapon he needs. Yeah. I cracked up. This episode has a ton of little Easter eggs that are in there. I think because Moffat thought, he said at one point this was going to be his last episode when he wrote it.
Oh, really?
Like he was leaving, or the show was ending?
Like he was leaving.
Hmm.
There was a time that he said that, I guess his contract just wasn't renewed, and he is coming back.
I know.
He's not leaving the series, but he said that when he was writing it, he was under the impression that it might be his last episode.
Yeah.
But, so those are Easter eggs, and I'll point some out. I have a small list of them, sure, or at least the ones I could catch.
Well, yeah. Cool. I love Easter eggs.
We get this firing squad thing and the president.
Yeah.
And so the president in this episode, like, we got the whole thing with the Sisters of Karn. It's like he doesn't want revenge against Gallifrey, just you.
Yeah. He doesn't blame them.
What do you guys think of President Lord President Razalon? Razalon?
Yes.
I think it's Razalon.
Razalon the Redeemer.
Razalon the Resurrected. Lord President, with respect, get off his planet.
Yeah. I think he's mean. I think he's a poophead.
I think he was the child who chose to name himself the president. That's what I think.
To clarify in the chat roll, I was talking about Moffat, not Cabaldi.
Yeah, yeah. And just to be clear, neither one is leaving.
Yeah, no one's leaving. Yeah. It was
Clara left.
For now.
As far as you know.
This season.
But, I mean, I thought that the president was really full of himself for someone who, one, had to be saved from the doctor in the first place. And two, like, he had just imprisoned this guy for billions and billions of years, and he had the arrogance to try to have him killed him, like, just off the cuff, whatever.
Yeah.
What an arrogant.
Yeah, we clearly are supposed to hate this person.
Right.
And they make us hate him really quick.
Yeah.
But it was, I liked him. As a character, liked him. I thought he was effective, and it was really a good way, I thought, the way that they handled the Lord President Razalon and the High Council, to get rid of them, because those two entities are the old guard of, like, basically of classic Who. They're such the big parts of classic Doctor Who that modern fans who have never delved into that stuff have no concept of.
Right.
And it was, if you bring Gallifrey back, that was always going to be a struggle.
someone in the chat room says whatever his name is, Lord President, was the founder of the modern Time Lords.
Okay. What do you mean by modern Time Lords?
Somebody said,
I think the word modern is only confusing because we use it to talk about modern who.
He's an ancient Time Lord who supposedly discovered the secret of immortality.
Oh, yeah. He was immortal at one point. Yeah. And, like, used it as a punishment.
And so, yeah. Sorry, go on. I'm just reading comments that you guys are saying.
Yeah.
That make me sin.
So basically, I think that part of why they had to get rid of them was this is the old guard, mm-hmm. and new fans are going to be confused by this. There's just too much to set up for fans that aren't that don't recognize it, because not every fan is the type that's going to spend an hour a week talking about it in a podcast studio.
I don't understand. What kind of fan is that?
But you need to make it accessible for them as well. And also, those headdresses look freaking ridiculous.
I really like them.
They're fun in a weird way.
Like fun in like a guys, 80s sci-fi, 60s sci-fi.
Exactly, but that doesn't work with modern Who.
I like it.
It worked in this episode, but there's a reason he sent them away. Is that like literally he's sending the way I interpret it? He's literally sending away all of the old Doctor Who looks, like no more High Council. So whatever takes their place will not have ridiculous headdresses, and they can just write the how Gallifrey functions, mm-hmm. how they dress. Everything about new Gallifrey is up to the writers, and I think that is a great move in terms of writing and just giving them the options that they need to do this show with a new dynamic, because it will absolutely have a new dynamic next season with the Time Lords in play. With that in mind, now they have more freedom. They don't have to lean on classic Who rules as much. This episode let them build it as they will see fit.
Yeah. And from an in-story standpoint, like, it's also, one, the Doctor's revenge, because, I mean, they essentially put him through hell, but also, I mean, essentially, these are the people who instigated the Time War. They at one point sent him, the Doctor, to assassinate Davros and the Daleks, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So, I mean, they're not the greatest leaders. And so, if he's going to take over Gallifrey, it needed to be a changing of the guard, because what was happening wasn't working.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the big thing. That's another one of the big reveals, is that they knew about the Time War for years beforehand, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and sort of let it happen in a way. I think it was inevitable, is sort of what the conclusion was, but they knew it was coming, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you can prepare, and the Time Lords were going to lose. They were going to lose the Time War if the Doctor hadn't acted.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why you have so many people on the planet, like, at the snap of his fingers, they just show up.
Yeah.
Like,
how did they get there? And where did they come from?
Who?
The people who showed up to watch him eat soup.
Oh, those people? I imagine the...
they walked.
The nanny, for lack of a better word, told them, brought them. We don't know how long was that he was there before she got the soup.
Yeah. And time is relative.
And that kid that he sent in the last episode could have also been like, hey, you're important. The Doctor's back. And just gathered a whole bunch of townsfolk instead of actually going into the main city and telling the people.
Or he's like running through. There's like a town in between where the Doctor was and the city. Yeah. And he's like, the Doctor is back. The Doctor is back. It's like Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Just another question about this. I just have a lot of questions. This episode really brought up a lot of
silly
questions.
Yeah.
So when we see Gallifrey, we mostly see this one city, right? I wonder, because I'm not familiar with Classic Who, do we see other cities on Gallifrey?
Well, we didn't see any, but I'm pretty sure there are a few.
Does Gallifrey only have maybe one continent that has like five different cities and then itty bitty towns or villages or just random farmhouses?
I am not up on my Gallifreyan geography.
I'd like to see a map.
It's just a big circle.
We'll have to work on that. But they do say the dry lands, which sort of implies
desert,
and like who knows how far it is. Like
new question. He lives in a farmhouse, but it's a dry. It's like a dry land, like a desert. What do they farm?
We also don't really have
just like Luke's.
I also am not up on my Gallifreyan agriculture.
Okay.
So we'll have to work on that. We need the Gallifreyan Farmer's Almanac.
That'd be great.
I just have some questions. I'm sorry. You know who we need on the show? Alan. Alan would know the answers.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to write him a list. Someone take note of this.
So, once he takes over for everything, basically his first act as Lord President, Lord President Doctor, it's a very confusing title.
I told Lord you, President Lord Doctor.
Basil for short.
Basil. His first move is to freeze Clara and bring her out. Yeah. Like, I thought this was a cool effect. I liked the, TV color thing they did.
So I was watching it. I was telling Tari. It looked like, you know, when, movies go into 3D?
Yeah.
I was like, this episode is in 3D and no one told me to get 3D glasses? What the heck? I was furious. I was like, if the rest of the episode's in 3D and looks like this, I'm going to be so mad. Because it went right to commercial break after
it
that.
It did sort of look like that. Like, either your TV was malfunctioning. But I thought it was a good effect. Because, life is malfunctioning.
Yes. Yeah. Once it was revealed, loved it. But at that moment, I got very angry.
he pulls her out. And this was the big thing the big dilemma of the episode is the doctor basically went through all of the 4.5 billion years in the confession dial in order to get to this, to save Clara. That was his motivation. What did you guys think of that decision? That choice, I mean, in terms of writing, not in terms of the doctor.
In terms of writing, it really frustrates me. It reminds me of the last two times we almost lost her. Like, I was really excited about the death. Not that, I was excited to lose her, but I was excited that we had a death because, as I've said, death seems inconsequential. I was excited to see him mourn. That's a different side of this doctor that we haven't really seen.
Yep.
I was ready for change. And then when he brought her back, I was like, okay, I can understand that. I wanted the Gallifreyans to kill her. I wanted them to kill her.
Her back into her proper time stream.
Or just kill her on Gallifrey. I just wanted that death to have happened.
You're right.
Pulling her out was felt like enough of a... already too much of a cheat.
Yeah.
The biggest flaw with this decision was for me that it stepped on. It made Face the Raven was not a perfect episode, but it was a good episode.
Yeah.
It was a solid episode at the very bare minimum, and I thought it was good. And I thought going back after a little while might even be a great episode to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with this knowledge, that episode is dumb. That episode is useless. I have no interest in ever watching it again.
Yeah.
Except maybe the last 5 minutes if I'm going to rewatch these past two episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Nailed it on the head. It took all meaning out of her death. And it ruined the what did you say before?
That he was mourning her.
Well, right. Mourning it, just and it just took all the consequences.
Yes, death. So far this season, right? A lot of the people that have died, he's brought back, and then especially he made the hybrid, which then led us to, and we'll talk about that. I'm sure everyone in the chat room was saying that it was confusing, it was unimportant, it was pointless, You guys had other words that were great, that it was useless. Yeah.
And the chat role is saying she still dies in Face the Raven. She'll meet her fate eventually. We see her die. We know she goes back. And that's true. But death does not wait for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing about death, is it's not supposed to be at a moment that you choose. This death had meaning because Clara didn't get to go on all those adventures. Mm-hmm. Clara didn't get to travel with me in a TARDIS of her own. She didn't get to help the Doctor on Gallifrey. Not getting to do all those things is what death does.
Right.
Death deprives you of things, and so when you rework the world and let yourself do those things, what is the point of it? She might as well have died at 100 years old in a regular time on Earth. She's going to have more life with this version of her story than if she had just lived into old age.
Yeah. And it also, for me, I guess the part about it that is, it, I guess from a logic standpoint, is that if she goes on an adventure and she dies, I mean, because I assume that the body that she's in isn't immortal, then will the universe rip itself apart because she can never go back to that point where she's supposed to die?
Potentially. Potentially she is a time-traveling potential bomb for the universe.
And I think that, like, for me, it's not that she didn't die. It's that we don't get to see the consequences of that play out. If that happened at the beginning of the season and we got to see her interacting with the Doctor and that he's like, you have to go back to your body eventually, and struggling with that concept of having to lose his friend but not wanting to take her back. Okay, cool. Or also having to feel like he has to protect her so that she can go back to that moment, and having her be that time bomb, I feel like is a more intriguing thing than him essentially bringing her back to life and then her willy-nilly deciding not to go and fulfill her destiny, which she was very fine to do before this episode.
I agree with you. I would have loved that season. Sounds fascinating.
Right.
Especially because he'd have to protect her because the universe would fall apart.
Yeah, have we done this at the beginning of the season? You're right. That would have been a fascinating thing to watch and a really painful emotional journey for the Doctor.
Right. But also, like, hearing that she knows that the universe might tear apart because of this.
Yeah.
And she's still willy-nilly going around with me. And, like, taking the long way around. Everyone in the chat is telling us she'll get there a long way around. Yeah, we know, but
we know it just... It what was an emotional moment because of, like, what happened in Face the Raven. Mm-hmm.
And last episode,
because the last episode was a consequence of Face the Raven.
Right.
What happened in those two things was a good look at grief, and that... You pay for your mistakes. Clara was reckless and made a decision to risk her life by taking this death clock from Rigsy.
Yeah.
But she was wrong. And when you play with high stakes risks like life and death, and you're wrong, sometimes you don't get the things that you want out of life. And so to give her those things in retrospect steps on, it makes that decision less powerful. And I know that she still made that decision, and that's a strong thing about her character, says a lot about her character. And in this episode, it's a strong thing about Clara that she demands to go back, that she later on she makes the decision to travel, but she wanted to go back. She was like, she said, I don't want this. She was happy to go to her death.
Right.
And if we had left it there, I would have still been okay with it.
Yeah.
Because it's just another reminder. I still think it's more intense to just lose somebody in a single moment and not have to keep going back to it. But it would have been an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah.
It just makes that whole scene less powerful.
Right.
And makes the Doctor's grief in Heaven Sent a little bit less it's a similar feeling to what the rumors at least say about why Eccleston didn't want to be in the 50th anniversary special. The rumors, for anyone who hasn't read them, is that Eccleston didn't want to do the 50th because he thought that going back and saving Gallifrey before his time and making him forget about it made his emotional journey in series one less powerful, because the fallout and the depression and the PTSD and everything that, that his doctor went through, and it was very dark and very real, is not as interesting when you're when you watch it and think, well, why is he shouldn't be so sad. Gallifrey is fine.
Right.
And the show needed to do that for a lot of reasons beyond just abilities to go back and rewatch series one.
Yeah.
But it's the same argument of, if you take something that was emotional and you put and you, you rewrite it to make it like less sad, you remove the
weight of it.
The weight of it. Thank you.
I think also, in addition to the way that she's now cheated death, and sure, she'll get there, but for now she's cheated it. The idea of taking away the doctor's memory cheats us of the grief and the mourning.
Right.
Right? Like, all of last episode is irrelevant because now he has no memory of it.
Well, that's not entirely true. Just because he can't remember the grief doesn't mean that it didn't happen. But it does... But it, it means that he's not going to have that information going forward. That grief will not affect him from this moment forward.
So unless it's going to be... like when Amy couldn't remember Rory and would start crying and didn't know why, and we're going to investigate that. Unless we see that, what I feel like has happened now, as you were saying, I didn't know the thing about Moffat thinking that he was he might be leaving, but that it's kind of like, we're going to give you a clean slate, so next season you can start wherever you want and do whatever you want. Because now he has no memory of Clara. He's not going to be mourning her. The Time Lords have their own... They can set up their own rule system. It's a clean slate.
Yeah.
And as interesting as that would be, I feel like it wasn't done in a way that I find, oh, interesting, we have a clean slate now.
Right.
I find it as a, nah, let's just clean house and move on.
Well, yeah. While we're here, just because we're getting on in time in the show, I want to talk about Clara's whole forgetting of her and her in the diner and this whole the meat of this Clara storyline, and then afterwards we'll get into the hybrid and all the stuff around that.
I was so sad about the Clara in the diner.
Because
of what I thought it was.
I thought the stuff in the diner, I've already said my piece about like her journey, but if you accept all of that, I really enjoyed the stuff in the diner. I thought that the performances were great.
Yes.
I will say my one thing. I was a little confused because the doctor was telling this whole story, but has zero memory of Clara. And I don't understand where the line is on what he remembers and what he doesn't. Because he says he remembers the mummy on the Orient Express. He remembers the
submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Iceman on the submarine.
Yeah.
Ice Warriors?
Ice Warrior. Yes. Thank you. I was like, it's not Iceman.
No.
Bobby
Cold
was
War?
On.
Yeah, Bobby Drake was came to Doctor Who. No.
Yeah.
The Ice Warrior. He remembers those things. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't remember Clara. So is it that he just forgot her face and all the details about her, but he has just this sort of blank person in that space? And if so, how does he remember all of these details that he tells to Clara?
It sounded like he remembered everything that happened. He just couldn't remember who he was with.
Yeah. It's like, I guess, to me, I would equate it to when you have a dream and you have a feeling that it's someone that you know that's in the dream with you, but you can't necessarily say who it was. Like, I felt like that person was my grandmother. I felt like that person was you, but you never actually really see them. You can't remember what they look like. You can't remember what they did. You just have the feeling that they were there. And I think that that's what he has. He has a feeling and a name, but no distinct memories.
It to me reminds me of, or I imagine that what he sees is an army of ghosts before the Cybermen come through, where it's just this, like, figure.
Yeah.
That's what he sees when he's remembering. That said, when I first saw him walk into the diner, my first thought was, because Clara is, throughout his timeline, saving him and will always be there.
Yeah.
I thought he had found another version of her.
One of the Echo Clars.
One of the Echo Clars, and just went to, like, say goodbye or see her or whatever, and that he had no... Like, this wasn't his Clara. This wasn't the one that saved this doctor. It was just a Clara that happened to live.
I thought the same thing.
And I loved that.
And I loved that it, like, I was like, is that the diner? And I wasn't sure at the first. At first, I was just like, it's another diner in Nevada. It was only when they turned around.
Which they did on purpose.
At the end. Yeah, which they did around. And I loved that moment.
Yeah.
Everyone who's listened to this show at all knows I'm a huge fan of Amy and Rory.
Oh, is Amy your favorite? I didn't know that.
But I liked connecting those two dots.
Yes.
And the idea that when Amy, Rory, River, and the Doctor were in that diner, they were actually inside a TARDIS. Is amazing. It's like that's the kind of connectivity that I love from Moffat, that he's done very well, and Davies did it a lot too, but Moffat has like makes like a big habit of it. And it's one of the things that I love, is that like little things where you can like go back, and that doesn't alter the way you watch that. It just adds another layer to it. It's just like, now you're gonna go back and you're like looking in the background, like, who's going through that door? That part's cool.
That's where the Doctor comes out of.
Yeah.
The back?
When Amy and Rory and River are there after he's dead.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's that door? I'll have to go back and rewatch.
I think there's
now
only one, like, it's the bathroom door. It says restrooms.
Yeah.
He comes through that door.
We'll have to go back and rewatch.
Okay.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. But
fine, don't believe
it'd be very interesting to go back and rewatch and check.
Let's just watch for fun, guys. It's just
just to be clear, I'm a big crier, and I definitely did cry at a point in this episode.
Do you want to tell us when?
It was when Clara was crying, when he was saying goodbye, and she was crying. That's when I cried.
When he's losing his memory.
Yeah.
It was a big emotional moment. I mean, they go to see me at the end of the universe. And
I heard it.
When they get there, another little Easter egg, the Fornox. It's always Fornox.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reference to the end of time. And when it's prophecy that the death will find the Doctor, and it will be with Fornox, which is a everybody thinks it is, but it turns out to be Wilf.
Yes.
Knocking on the door.
But it's also the Time Lord's heartbeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not freaking you out, y'all?
Nope. No, but for the listeners, right. It's probably boring.
It's probably boring. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I just enjoy it. So the four knocks, but this time it's a shielder waiting on the other side.
It's me.
It's way easier if I just say a shielder.
I disagree.
It's so much less confusing.
The knocks were me, says Casey.
Me is the one who knocks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. A lot of people were saying, when I said that Clara and me were traveling, people were like, you're traveling with Clara?
See, this is why it's easier to just call her a shielder.
Go on. So me was outside the door.
Yeah.
Which I found it to be a really interesting... I guess set. I found it to be a really interesting scape of her just sitting on this throne recliner with a chess set, just kind of waiting for everything to end.
Yeah.
Just to think that she's been essentially waiting all her life until she can die. She's waiting until the universe allows her to die, which I find to be an interesting concept. A part of me wanted it to actually be, when he said, it's me, I wanted it to be him on the other side. Because the Doctor, has visited the end of the universe multiple times. And so, but I knew they wouldn't have, like, you know, what's his name? They wouldn't have Tennant there. They wouldn't have any of that.
Yeah, the old version of the Master.
I really would have liked Missy to be there.
I did miss Missy.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was hard to...
Yeah.
I did miss her in this episode. By the end of it, I realized that she wasn't entirely necessary, but I kept thinking that we were going to find her. Like, around every corner, I kept expecting her to pop out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely expect her to be sitting there with me watching the time run out. Also, right. I started thinking about after time runs out and we're done, mm-hmm. what happens to me? What happens to a shelter?
See? Yeah. See? I mean, therein is the big existential question.
So I think...
What is there outside the universe? Is it...
The void.
Yeah.
A shelter goes into the void, which takes us back to, speaking of Army of the... What was it?
The End of Time?
No.
The Army of the Dead?
Army of the Dead?
No.
Angels?
Either way.
You're talking about the Cybermen.
The Cybermen. Yes, when we had Cybermen versus Daleks through... In the void.
Oh, in the other universe. I mean, that's another universe, though. I mean, a lot...
Because the void is between universes. Yeah. It's the empty space between time.
So okay. Maybe she'll fall into another universe and live forever there.
Well, luckily she didn't have to because she found a time machine.
Stole. The word you're looking for is stole.
Well, she didn't steal it. The doctor stole it. I did love, again, the doctor stealing a time machine. Oh my God. Dude, the TARDIS.
Set. Oh, so good.
Absolutely.
That was, as soon as they went inside and I saw the all white, I paused it and was just looking at it and all its glory. Yeah. Like, that is a perfect.
Army of Ghosts. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Oof. That is a perfect decision in, like, terms of, like, fan service and just like it wasn't overhanded mm-hmm. It didn't beat you over the head with it that this was like this exact same set as the first Doctor, but for fans that knew it, it was so brilliant. Everything, all the details, the doors made the exact same whirring sound when they open. The console did like half of the wheezing the whole time while they're moving.
Well, I mean, Moffat's favorite Doctor is the first.
Is Hartnell.
At least his favorite TARDIS interior is the first. He has said that many a times.
Yeah. And there was that great line, like, I was a different person back then. Rude. what was the other things that he said about his first self? I have it here somewhere. I was eccentric, a bit mad, rude to people. and the first Doctor was even ruder than Capaldi.
Yeah.
Just like didn't give a damn.
Oh no, not at all.
Didn't give a damn.
No.
All right. So the big thing that they go over, because we gotta get into it because there's such a big discussion topic that we have to cram in here. The hybrid.
Yes.
So okay. So the hybrid is something we've been teased with all season.
Yes.
It's a new concept that's introduced, the prophecy of the hybrid.
Right.
They go over it several times where the Doctor is grilling the general in his old crusty white man form before he becomes a young black woman.
Yeah.
which is her natural state.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool twist on that character.
I love that.
I don't know what pronoun to use.
Well, it depends. She. When she's she.
But like, yeah, but when you're talking about all of her past, it becomes more complicated.
Well, so I love that the guy says, sir, and then goes, oh, sorry, ma'am.
Ma'am, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, like back to normal.
Yeah, yeah, like she'd been a woman for her first 8 regenerations, had one go, or nine regenerations, had one go as a man, and now she's in her 11th regeneration as back to being a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was cute. It was a nice little like touch at the way that Time Lords function. And just like this a reminder of this idea, like all these characters can be every actor cast a Gallifreyan. We can replace you in a heartbeat.
Yes,
it is not even hard.
That's terrifying for an actor.
Yeah. Right? Because I actually really liked that actor. I was actually disappointed to see him go because I really liked him in the 50th, and I thought in this episode he did a great just acting wise he did a great job. Anyway, back to the hybrid.
Yeah.
Back to the hybrid. So the general says the hybrid is a creature thought to be crossbred from two warrior races. Just as the doctor berates him with unnecessary specificity of what he knows. All Matrix prophecies confer that this creature will stand in the ruins of Gallifrey. It will unravel the web of time and destroy a billion hearts to heal its own. Mm-hmm. That is the quote.
Yeah.
And then we were presented in this conversation with me with three theories as to who the hybrid is. One, it's a shielder.
Right.
A shielder is Meyer and human. That she could be the hybrid.
I mean, she is a hybrid.
She is a hybrid. Yes. Whether or not she's the hybrid of the prophecy. Number two, it's the Doctor. He is not biologically a hybrid, but he has spent so much time on Earth. Could you consider him to be part human? He does have a human's face.
Right.
Right.
At this point, he took a ancient Pompeii citizen's face.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going by the movie, I mean, he's totally part human. Movie being the one no one talks about that.
They decided that he was just mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the third theory
is that it is the Doctor and Clara together as one being, pushing themselves, making themselves more and more dangerous, and they together as one entity are the hybrid.
Right.
To me, that is the strongest idea.
Right.
And the most interesting interpretation of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's because it, and they kind of play it out in that, like, they are very much a toxic relationship for one another.
Yeah.
They can't lead normal lives because they infect every piece of their lifetime. Like, the Doctor is codependent on Clara, and Clara, by default, since she has no one else, is codependent on the Doctor. And so they're inseparable, and so they'll go to such great lengths to keep their relationship together, even if it's hurting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is such a Moffat move. Because it is.
Yes, very
and, much so. And it, to me, comes down to, if you were to ask Moffat to his face, who is the hybrid, A, B, or C, his answer would be, the hybrid is an idea. The hybrid could be A, B, or C. The hybrid is a concept.
The thing is, I will defend that. I think we've seen him in some interviews give, like, specifically one with Missy L. Teagle over here.
Where the answer was similar to that.
But I think his phrasing was a little bit like...
Go on.
Almost like patronizing in a way.
Sure.
I do respect that as a writer, not wanting to give the answer, because leaving something ambiguous and up for discussion and your personal decisions is a great way to tell a story, and that there isn't necessarily an answer because life doesn't always give you the answers. So that said, in this case, they have made this such a big plot line, and if it doesn't come back, I'll be disappointed. This is the kind of thing that I could see following a similar trajectory as The Silence, where at the end of season 5, we thought we knew what was going on with The Silence.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you examined it closely, you'd be like, I think there's more here.
Sure.
But it felt like we'd done The Silence storyline already.
Right.
But then by the end of season 6, and then at the end of season 7, the Silence had this whole big arc that made sense, connected to each other, but always felt like it was building and, like, revealing new things.
Okay.
I think that the hybrid could become a bigger story. If it's not, it feels short and missing the point.
So with your addition of he may be, Moffat may have thought that this was his last hurrah, I feel like that's what he did, was he went, here's a MacGuffin, right? That's the word?
Yes.
MacGuffin. MacGuffin. This is an answer.
Well, I guess I am going to disagree.
Someone else said MacGuffin. Go on.
MacGuffin! I think that, in a way, the hybrid, I don't think it's going to come back in that. I don't think it matters.
Yep.
I think that the specific grilling was to show that, like, they are afraid of nothing. They're afraid of this concept that an algorithm had drawn up, and ultimately, one of them were going to become the hybrid in fearing the hybrid.
Ah.
And I think that was the main crux of it. I think that was the idea, is that, like, the fear that drove them to try to find out about it and ultimately sacrifice everything to know what was coming had them create the hybrid in the Doctor because they set up the circumstances that made the Doctor become the hybrid that would destroy all of time because they hurt him.
It's also interesting to think about. Yeah, yeah. It's also interesting to think about the fact that the Doctor was told about the hybrid and that its supposed identity, whether it was true or not.
Yeah.
By the Matrix, which is a collection, like a computer basically run off of dead Time Lord souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As like its processing chips.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of what it is.
Yeah.
And those things, I guess because of how much they travel in time and all that, gives it this ability to prophesize.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like a computer via algorithms, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
The reason I think there's more is like, what purpose would it have served telling him? I think there's more to that story and the Matrix and its function that they didn't go into. They didn't go into why he was told who the hybrid was or any of it. And that didn't strike me as a lie necessarily. Maybe the details were a little like off, but it didn't strike me as a lie. And there's just more there. Which is why I think it's not, the hybrid story isn't done.
A lot of people in the chat are saying that they like what Tari said. Excellent point. Well
Hooray.
Said. That was deep. Thanks, so guys. A lot of them are liking it. I like what you're saying. That's interesting. I really wish Moffat loves to go back to old stuff, right? He loves to go back to Classic Who and pull out little things. I would have liked if the hybrid was a throwaway line from some old story that he picked up and was like, didn't you know that this was a big prophecy all along? I would have loved if that was a connected thing as opposed to just beginning of the season, you haven't heard about the prophecy of the hybrid? Where have you been? And then all season follow this MacGuffin and get us to a who knows situation. I would have liked if it connected back.
That's fair.
I just think that would have been fun. That's all.
Fair.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are pointing out that River is a hybrid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have really liked if, because we knew that she was coming back for Christmas, I think it would have been real fun if, like, me was sitting there with River. Like, who's the hybrid now?
I didn't need to see River here.
I just wanted
we could have name checked her.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is that the Doctor knows who the hybrid is.
Yeah, but I would have liked to just see all of our options, especially if we're not getting a definite answer. Let's just see them all hanging out, watching Time Lord.
We get Dalek Khan. We get, like, all the others.
Yeah, me is at the end of the universe with River, Dalek. Was it Dalek Khan or Dalek Sek?
One of those.
Either way.
Jack.
Jack's there. Well, no, not Missy. Jack, the face of Bo.
Fair enough.
Dr. Donna, but she doesn't know why she's there.
She's very confused.
No, she's asleep.
And they did make reference to Donna in this episode because basically the Doctor was like, I'm just going to do what I did to Donna, to Clara.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to be pissed off, I'll be honest with you, when I thought that he was good, when they thought the show was going to just have another person on Earth who doesn't remember the Doctor and is running around. We're running low on time. We're running very low on time.
Yes.
Unlike Clara.
Who has all the time in the world. Me, again, looked amazing.
A few other Easter eggs, then I just want to get into your guys' final thoughts. The radio at the beginning, before the Doctor comes in, is playing the same song from Mummy on the Orient Express.
Mm.
Don't Stop Me Now.
Exactly. There was some musical cues that rolled. I didn't hear it. Apparently, they had Ten's cue in there. The Doctor is playing Clara's theme song.
Right.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
Which is a little, like, a weird little semi-breaking the fourth wall thing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. Mm. I liked that. Him riffing the...
Okay.
I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get your thoughts on the new Sonic Screwdriver. that pops out of the TARDIS at the end there. We won't bother to pull up a picture. We just don't have time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But what did you guys? What do you guys think of the new design?
I really like it. I think I've been saying for two seasons now. Like, it's time for a new Sonic.
It's been very. It was very strange. Especially just from BBC's perspective, I was like, why aren't they giving him a new one?
Yeah. It seemed like early on when we got Capaldi, he was. Or not even, I think it was Matt's last season, that it felt like he needed a new screwdriver. He kept breaking it or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're getting a new one. And we didn't. And then we got glasses. But I really like this new one. I love that it looks very, like, modern and high tech.
It's like futuristic steampunky. Like, there's little pieces of, like, bronze and gold on it.
And people have said that, you know, they're trying to make him more steampunky. And that they're making Doctor Who more steampunky.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fans have already done it. We might as well let the show catch up.
It's true.
Yeah,
Nugget 75, sorry. But I will buy that toy, even though I know I'm a sucker.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that it looks more like a screwdriver than any of the screwdrivers.
Yes, it does.
Was it a Phillips head at the end?
No. It was something enough. Like... When you look at it in the actual episode, it looks fine.
Yeah.
When you look at the blueprints of it, though, and like BBC put them out, it looks very phallic.
Yes, it does.
It looks very phallic. It's always looked phallic.
No, you should see it.
It looks like a toy of some sort.
I'm glad it doesn't look like that in use.
New Sonic Screwdriver Red Rocket.
Yeah, but you guys can look up. You guys can look up the photos for yourself.
Blueprints. Okay. Go on. Just do your show.
All right. So, Tari, while y'all does that, do you have any final thoughts on this episode? Anything that we didn't get to touch on?
I mean, I felt like I expressed a lot of my gripes and my good points. I thought it was a really. It had a lot of potential. I think that there were great moments, a lot of great set pieces, especially all the stuff that was at the end of the universe, great set piece. The old TARDIS, great set piece. Him coming into the TARDIS, like his own TARDIS, was a really great moment to me. Just having the sun shine through, because it made it really feel like a place he hasn't been in a long time, which I thought captured that feeling very well. Those are my final thoughts. I'm interested to see where they go the next season. Not to jump into predictions or blah, spoiler wall stuff, but I know that in the next episode we get, or in the Christmas special, we get aliens and alien planet stuff, which I've been waiting for two seasons. So, hooray.
The Christmas special looks good. This episode for me, I thought it looked... Now we've talked about it, I'm not as confused, but my ultimate decision, I liked a lot of it. I do think that it was not the best written episode, but the ideas that are in there, I think are really strong and very interesting and have a lot of deep stuff going on. It could have been better, but ultimately, what I like about it is mainly where it leaves us.
Right.
I think, like, Christmas special aside, looking forward to next season, I'm very excited to see what Doctor Who is going to become. With Clara sort of out there, I don't think we're going to see her for a long time. The next multi-Doctor anniversary special is really the next time I expect to see that character. Maybe next Christmas, at the very earliest, would be next Christmas. I love the flying diner in space. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous and silly, but I love it. What if they just turn to, like, actually, that show Class, not about a school, not called Class. It's Clara and a Shield are traveling.
The Doctor's daughter.
Fake out.
Ooh.
I thought about that. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Especially because me is busy on Game of Thrones.
It's only six episodes.
What I'll say is this. I am excited to rewatch the entire season from start to finish.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really fun, and I will probably have different feelings on everything knowing what I know now. And I'm excited to see Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the announcement of the new companion, which we'll get before next season.
And Moffat has said that they have not cast the new companion yet. They don't even know who it is or what it's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
I'm sure they have ideas in the room,
right?
But no one has been cast yet, so that means Moffat, there is still time
for Stormageddon.
Hashtag we want Stormageddon, guys. It's going to be a long break. Before Christmas, after Christmas, all that time, keep using the hashtag, we want Stormageddon. I want them to know that we want Stormageddon for the new companion. Let's get it done. I've done my piece. Let's move into predictions.
And this is what we're talking about? You guys haven't seen very many toys. Okay, predictions.
Yeah, predictions. All right. Well, looking ahead, it's Christmas time, you guys. River's back. What do you guys think is going to happen to River? I'm not sure.
I predict that this Christmas special will have very little to do with actual Christmas.
Actually, that's been confirmed by Moffat.
Great. It's gonna
prediction
be
verified.
Might be my favorite Christmas special.
Dari, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that we'll get a prison River, which will be nice.
Oh yeah,
yeah, young River, not dead River. Hologram River.
Yeah, and I think that I'm hoping that kind of like Yel said, where we're gonna get kind of Phantom grieving. Where all of a sudden the Doctor will feel something really sad.
Oh,
he'll play a song, and then he'll be like, I'm sad, and not really know why.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that's a thing.
Yeah. That was awesome, by the way, Stephen.
Yes.
That was so much fun. I think River is going to really set the Doctor on a path in this episode. I think that's going to be the big... Because the Christmas specials, I think this one will be a little bit more standalone than we've seen in the past.
Sure.
But I think... River is really going to set the Doctor on a new path. It's going to set him down a road that's going to drive however his relationship with Gallifrey is going to be. I think he's probably going to turn to her he's going to seek out River basically out of lack of knowing what to do next.
Yeah.
Because that's the big question is, I don't know what the Doctor is going to do next. With no memory of Clara, I don't know what it's not really grief. He's just confused. He just got his TARDIS back. And now, where does he go? Who does he go see? Oh, well, it's always fine if I just bump into my wife. So.
So the episode is called The Husbands of River Song.
Oh.
For those who don't know that.
I didn't know that, actually.
Really?
I don't know how I missed that, but
do
I
do not follow BBC America on Tumblr? So a lot of the people in the chat roll are saying they want Craig Ferguson to be the companion, which, for those who don't know, Craig Ferguson played in a band with Peter Capaldi and were Doctor Who fan club members together.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And apparently, people are all confirming, and I have nothing to support this, but they're all claiming this, so I believe them. Because apparently they're usually right. This is River right after the Angels take Manhattan.
That's right. Oh, that's okay. Right. I had
great. That, so that you accurate. Can confirm, but not that it's called. You don't know that it's called.
I forgot.
Okay. Anyway, so Craig Ferguson. I think that's. I would freaking love that.
Even if he just comes for an episode. Oh my God.
It'd be so fun.
That would be a great episode.
Yeah.
I think the next companion's Michael Caine.
The only man older and more British.
Yeah. Do you think you should go on that
trip? What was that?
I'm that so
was
sorry.
The worst Michael Caine ever.
Absolutely the worst.
Master Bruce.
There you go.
Master Doctor.
I really like the idea because I. Oh, good. You know what? You know why this is going to be great if it's right after Angels Take Manhattan? Because in Angels Take Manhattan, she tells the Doctor how infuriating it is for him to have the face of a 12-year-old.
Mm.
And now...
Oh, now she runs into him and he's...
Got the face ancient. Of an older gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I'm excited for Christmas special. I don't know exactly which day we're going to be recapping it because it's Christmas. The studios will be closed.
I mean, I'm available, so I'll be talking about it live on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll all be talking about it, but we won't be in studio. We will be getting to it.
We'll be celebrating Christmas.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I will be celebrating Doctor Who Day.
Why can't it be both? But yeah, well, stay tuned to follow us on Twitter and stuff and at AfterBuzz. We'll be sure to announce exactly when we're going to be taping the show as soon as we have the date locked in. And the best way to find that will be information on our Twitters. Yael Teagle, what's yours?
My Twitter is at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. I want to make sure they could spell it. I'm also available if you want to see the interviews we were talking about with Moffat or Capaldi. Also, Michelle Gomez and Jenna Coleman at Yael TV. That's YAEL.TV.
Tari Miller.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's TauriJay.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. Thank you for joining us all season.
Yeah.
We still have that one episode that's not technically in the season, but it is. Very confusing. But, I wanted to say thank you guys, because this has been a blast to lead this show. I know that it was... some people were sad to see Mr. Lieberman not be able to come so much. We tried to get him in tonight. He couldn't make it.
Yeah.
He's a very busy guy. But it's been an honor to lead this show. So thank you guys so much.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm Zach Wilson, and thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.